Church, and welcome to Psalm 33, Psalm number 33, and inside of your program is a study guide of our message for today. We are so glad you're here as part of this series as we talk about Celebrate America. Now, when you think about whether a nation is a good land or a bad land, what would be a good way to measure that? I'm talking about from a human perspective, okay, whether a place to live is a good place or a place to live is a bad place. Well, perhaps, at least in my humble opinion, the best test of that would be the gate test. What do I mean by the gate test? Well, what happens if the gates are taken down, and people are free to come, people are free to go, as they choose? Well, this morning, we are blessed to live in a country where literally millions of people, both legally and illegally, want to be part of this country. I mean, that's the kind of nation we live in. I mean, I can't speak to all the other countries of the world, okay? But I don't think there's another one like that out there. I don't know. Maybe there is, okay? But I know this. I know I live in a country where millions and millions of people want to get in, okay? And maybe there's a few that want to get out, okay? And I say to them, go ahead, okay? Gate is down as far as I'm concerned or whatever. But just think about that. I am blessed today to live in America, to live in a nation where people want to get in. And yet God in his sovereignty chose for me to be born here. For some of us, God chose for us to come here, you know, and to be part of this wonderful nation. And so today, let's celebrate America. Today, we're going to take some time here, not very long, and look at Psalm 33. And I want to begin by reading kind of the core of this chapter, particularly when it comes to celebrate America. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12. It says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." Now, this chapter speaks to the idea of the nations, And, God created four different institutions. He created the family. He created the workplace. He created the church. And God created government. God created nations. Now, it's important for us to understand, and I think a lot of times this is where we kind of get mixed up when it comes to debating issues like marriage and things like that. We have to understand that God deals with individuals, but God also deals with nations. I think a lot of times this is where we kind of get messed up in understanding how God works. God, I mean, he deals with us as individuals, but the Bible is very clear that God also deals with us as a nation, as a people. And we have to understand this, and we have to realize this. The Bible is very clear about, what will God do to bless a nation? God tells us what it takes to be blessed as a nation, as a people, as a government. God also tells us what will tick him off and upset him when it comes to nations and governments. And so this is a very important passage because it talks about, God's sovereignty, how that the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. I mean, to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. And blessed is the nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. In Psalm 33, we learn about three different things that we can do to celebrate America. And these are three things we need to be doing as we celebrate America. The first thing is to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. It starts out in Psalm 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. The Bible is telling us to celebrate, to rejoice. The Bible tells us that praise is beautiful. Praise is beautiful. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright. Listen, I love this statement. It's beautiful. It is beautiful when we praise the Lord. God sees it as something of great beauty when we give praise to Almighty God. In Psalm 92, 1 through 2, it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to sing praises to the Most High, to get up in the morning and to declare his loving kindness, to go to bed every night and to think about his faithfulness. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing when we praise the Lord. When God sees a nation turning to him in praise, it's beautiful. Number two, praise is musical. Praise is musical. In verse 2, it says, praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. You know, part of praise is music. Music. God has declared that we would praise him through music. And the Bible talks about this so very clearly in Ephesians 5:19. It tells us that music is one of the expressions of a spirit-filled Christian. One of the ways you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit is you got a song, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Psalm 150, it talks about praising the Lord with all kinds of instruments. There are 77 verses in the Bible. I didn't know this till yesterday. There are 77 verses in the Bible that talk about musical instruments and using them to praise the Lord. The Bible literally talks about dozens and dozens and dozens of musical instruments, and how that God wants to use every one of these instruments to bring praise and honor and glory to God Almighty. We're told to praise the Lord with the trumpet. We're told to praise the Lord with the lute and the harp. We're told to praise the Lord with timbrel and dance. We're told to praise the Lord with string instruments and flutes. We're to praise him with, bam, loud cymbals, okay? Praise him with clashing cymbals. One of the ways we praise the Lord is through music. Music. And God wants to use all these different instruments, the drums and the violins and the flutes and the harps and all this stuff. God wants to use all of it to bring honor and glory to him. Praise is biblical. It's biblical. It tells us in verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. You know, God's word is always right. Did you know that? God's word is all right, always right. In other words, when it comes to a standard of what's right and wrong, we don't have to wonder about that. It's the word of God that's always right. It's God's truth that is always right. This is God's declared truth. And when God speaks on something like marriage or whatever it might be, listen, it is the right thing, okay? It is the right thing, and we have to understand that. And all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness. He loves righteousness. He loves justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So what should we do? We should rejoice in the Lord. One of the ways we celebrate is to rejoice in the Lord. And we need to realize when we do this, it's beautiful, it's musical, it's biblical. I mean, this is how we're to rejoice in God Almighty. Number two, we need to fear the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. Verse 8 says, let the whole earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In verse number 18, It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. One of the most troubling, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, troubling things in our nation today is no fear of Almighty God. We're told to fear God. We're told to fear the Lord, realizing, number one, that God is the creator. We need to fear him because he is our very creator. The Bible tells us in verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And we're to fear God because he is the creator. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was God who laid the foundation of this world. And how did he do it? God said. God said. How did this world get into existence? God spoke it into existence. God spoke this world into existence. The Bible says in verse 9, for he spoke. Done. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, and verse 26, talking about the creation, there's a common phrase in all those verses, and that phrase is God said. God said. Where did we get light? God said, let there be light. God said it. God created this world. God created everything in this world. And we need to fear him as our creator. No wonder our young people these days don't fear God. Because we've taken away the foundation. No wonder they act like animals, basically, okay? Because there's no fear of God. Because there's no reverence, there's no respect for God being the creator God. God is in charge. God is in charge. It says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen is his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. Yes, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. In the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. Mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Wow. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive. These verses talk about God is in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge of nations, and God is in charge of governments. The Bible is so clear in Job 12, verse 23, he makes nations great, and he destroys them. He enlarges nations, and he divides them. He makes nations great. Did America get great on its own? No, we did not. God made our nation great. Okay. God also destroys them. God also takes down nations. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. How did this nation get where it got? Well, it started based on the Judeo-Christian ethic. I mean, listen, just go down to Washington, D.C., okay, and just look around. The whole way the whole city's designed is based on Christianity, basically, okay? I mean, our founding fathers, they were not all Christians, okay? But most of them were Christians, okay? And the very fabric of this country was built on the Judeo-Christian ethic. And God has chosen to bless this nation, okay? To bless this nation. And it's because righteousness is what exalts a nation. It's doing the right thing that exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. I mean, look at all the great... Just become a student of history. Look at Greece. Look at Rome. Look at these unbelievably strong nations at one time. Do you know? Go study your history. Don't believe me, okay? You study it for yourself. When did these nations begin to crumble? It was when they started to embrace. You study it for yourself. Do not believe me, okay? You study it for yourself, okay? You look at it yourself. And we have to understand sin is a reproach. It is a reproach, any people. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish. And those nations shall be utterly ruined. Folks, God is, listen, a God to be feared. I wish I had more time to unpack this. This is so heavy on my heart because I think this is where our problem is in our debate right now over this marriage thing. It's one way to look at individuals. Should we love everybody? Yes, we should, okay? We should be like Jesus. Jesus, the woman at the Samaria, whatever, he told her, I love you or whatever. He also said to her, go and sin no more. Seems like we've lost that go and sin no more part, okay? Where's the go and sin no more part, okay? I think we're missing that, don't you? God deals with nations. God, when a nation embraces what is sinful and endorses what is, he calls an abomination, and he calls it an evil, and he calls it a perversion, and a nation endorses that. Understand the seriousness of what we're talking about? People have always struggled with adultery and homosexuality and all these things, okay? I mean, I doubt if there's anybody in here that's talked to more people about homosexuality than me, okay? There's hardly a time I'm in my pastoring. I'm not dealing with somebody struggling in that area, okay? Understand what I'm talking about here, okay? Understand what I'm talking about here, okay? We have to understand that we need to have a fear. We need to have a fear of God. And then lastly, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. We got to wait on him, folks. We got to rejoice in him. To fear him. We have to fear him. We have to wait on the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. What does that mean to wait? That means to depend on. To depend on. To look to the Lord. I mean, I love the previous verses. It talks about verse 17, a horse is a vain hope for safety. Now, horses were the big deal back then. You might want to put there, nuclear bombs or tanks or whatever word you want to put there. That's a vain hope for safety, okay? Isn't it? Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. The greatest protection we have is to fear Almighty God. And we need to wait on the Lord. We need to depend on the Lord. We need to pray for our land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I don't have time to read this because we've got to wrap up here, but just read the prayer of 2 Kings 19. This is a king, King Hezekiah. Read that prayer later on. I know you probably won't, but I'm just telling you. It'll bless you. I mean, Israel was under attack, and this king is crying out to God. And then we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. We need to pray for our kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Ladies and gentlemen, thank God we're in a nation where millions of people, millions, get into this country. They come by millions illegally because they want to get here, okay? And they're standing in line. I don't know how many are standing in line to get in, but it's probably up there in the millions. I don't know, whatever. We get to be in that kind of country. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. What can we do? Let's rejoice in the Lord. Fear the Lord. Wait. God bless. Father, we love you and just thank you for your word. God, thank you for being such an unbelievable God, that you would raise up a nation like America, that you would allow us to be in this country. God, we celebrate. We thank you for America. God, thank you for this nation. God, may we today rejoice. May we rejoice. Lord, may we fear you. God, please, Lord, please. God, help us to have a fear of you, Lord, respect for you. God, we know you raise up nations and you take down nations. Spoke the very world into existence. Lord, you can speak America into existence and you can speak America out of existence. God, we fear you, Almighty God. Lord, we wait on you. We depend on you, Lord. God, you're the source of our lives and we praise you. In Jesus' name.